Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
Today we're going to discuss what happens when a new boss inherits employees that he or she may not want. We'll start with a question from a young professional who recently got a new boss, and that boss seems to blame this employee for other people's mistakes. Yeah, and during the second part of our podcast, we'll discuss what new bosses can do if they inherit employees who don't fit the culture that they may want to create.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is such a delicate situation, right? When a new boss or manager comes into an organization and existing employees often feel unfairly targeted, I think, or criticized because they don't fit the new boss's expectations or the culture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I hope our listeners will send more questions like this to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
Logan, what's our question?
I've had my job as a software developer for 3 years and I've always received excellent reviews. Recently, a new boss came into my department, and suddenly my work became problematic. The new boss has been bringing in his own people, and when they make mistakes, I get the blame. I tried going to HR to complain, but HR took my boss's side. What can I do to rectify this situation?
We hear about this.
We do.
I don't want to say every day, but once a month. I mean, It's really unfortunate. You can have a great situation, your boss adores you, and then they move on, and you get somebody who, they got a very different idea of what the organization or your department should look like, feel like.
Yeah.
And they, of course, everybody has their own personal colleagues that they want to work with them because they understand them.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not a good thing, but it is what it is. So it's never great to be in a situation like this. So, I mean, there's really only two things. One is if this person just doesn't like you, they want to replace you with a friend. There's not much you can do if HR is going to take their side. Right. Ultimately, this person may fail or they may not. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you probably should just see if there's another department in the company you can work for, or, you know, click that little button on LinkedIn that you're looking and see what comes. You know, freshen up your resume because it's not going to be fun.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is one of the toughest situations to try not to take personally.
Yeah, it feels very personal.
It feels totally personal. And sometimes, I mean, we have seen actually new bosses come in and act as if they're friendly and, you know, looking forward to working with the team, but really don't have any intention of doing that. So
I just remember there were two things I said. One is that, you know, you're not going to make it. The other is you can figure out what they want.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
And say, okay, well, I'm going to adapt to this new, but unless it's not something that interests you.
Right.
Or they've really targeted you as.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
You have to see if the boss is open.
Yeah.
Right. To working with you.
Yeah. They just may not like your style.
They may not like your shoes or something.
Yeah, which is your style. It could be your physical style or it could be your personal style.
Yeah.
But, you know, it happens to everyone at some point, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has an easy 100% time. Their career takes bumps.
Yeah.
And we sometimes work for people that we would not want to work. We would not want to even know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, if that's the case, it's best to move on and, you know, probably others are going, find out where they're going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, the question they're asking, what can I do to rectify the situation? And I think you're right, Kathy, that the one turning on the button for LinkedIn to say that you're available, basically, to recruiters and other hiring people is sort of an act of advocacy on your part, right?
Yeah.
It's saying, but to do that, you have to be willing to read the writing on the wall, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you can also, you know, see who the boss likes.
Yeah.
And see if that fits you, if you could adapt to what it is they want. And, I mean, if it's unattractive, then you got to figure out an exit strategy.
Yeah.
But maybe you can adapt.
Do you recommend meeting with the boss individually? And
I mean, you could meet with them and say, you know, what is it you want from me? Tell me, you know, what changes you'd need me to make. I mean, I see you're not that happy with me.
Yeah.
What would you like? You know, maybe they'll tell you the truth. Maybe they
not.
Won't.
Yeah. Could go both ways.
Yeah.
Either way, you're going to get some information about what the next step should be. So.
Yeah.
And, you know, if HR is agreeing with them, it's very possible that they were brought in to change the department.
I was just thinking that.
Or they believe they were brought in to change the department. So there's something like that.
Right. Or in some way that this new person is protected by a higher-up.
Yeah, they're giving him a chance.
Yeah.
The person who brought him in wants to give him a chance.
Yeah.
And you're just the lost collateral. So, you know, yeah. Mm. I know. I work with this one organization, and the big leader has resigned, and I think she's actually maybe leaving this week.
Uh-huh.
And everybody is sitting braced.
Yes, for what's coming.
For what's coming next. Is coming.
Yeah.
Is it somebody within? Is it somebody outside?
Yeah, yeah.
And how different is that person going to be? Because, you know, even if you don't love your boss, if you have managed a way to work with them.
The devil you know versus the devil you don't.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what's happening here. Do you have a dating analogy? No?
Well, I could work on it, but I don't think it's, no. I'd say that in this case, you're right, because you're bracing to see. Actually, people hold on to bad relationships in order to avoid having to deal with a new person.
Because you never know.
Because you never know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate that this is happening. But, you know, ask around to your friends. You're going to find out that many people have gone through this.
Yeah.
And they have figured out one way or another. But don't spend your time setting this boss up to look bad. They're going to, you know, do it themselves.
Right.
And it may just take a long time for them to get found out, or they may never get found out.
I was going to say, this is, I think, particularly challenging if you have a fairness orientation.
Oh, yeah.
You
know, it's not fair.
Because it's totally not fair.
Mm-hmm.
But as you're saying, Kathy, spending a lot of time ruminating over how unfair it is and how this shouldn't be happening really doesn't help you either.
It doesn't, but, you know, just to put some normalcy to it, you're gonna be ruminating about things. Like, this is the kind of thing you're going to go home and tell everyone. My boss is such a jerk. I can't believe what they did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is because it's not, doesn't make sense, really.
Well, it's hard to believe, and it's hard to accept, probably, the reality of your situation.
Yeah.
And also, you can start to feel a little crazy. For example, if you're being blamed for other people's mistakes,
yes,
that's crazy-making.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't make sense, and then B, when you go to HR to try to verify your reality and they say, no, there's nothing wrong here, then you really have a challenge.
Yeah,
it's rough. It's really rough. But just start taking care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether that's your own self-care, get some support, and start looking for your exit.
Yeah.
Your exit strategy. And it could be within the organization if you have stellar reviews.
Right.
Other
lateral
people,
move.
Yeah, other people.
Someone
might
who
be,
knows you and loves you or really likes your work product.
Right. Might be really happy to have you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've moved around in companies, and it could be very interesting because you'd be surprised. You may have a lot of allies in the organization, if that's possible. If you do something specialized where that there's no place else for you to go,
yeah,
that's unfortunate. But I would, you know, make sure you get good referrals from your allies in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe your ex-boss. Maybe your ex-boss can take you, or knows can work for you on the outside and help you find something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I know it's depressing. I don't really have anything great. Like, you're going to win big here.
Well, you're basically saying read the writing on the wall. Do what you can, if you can, to find out if there's some opening with the new boss, and otherwise look for your next imprint.
People may not know what that means.
Right. Your next job.
Yeah.
All right. So let's just shift gears now and discuss what if you're a new boss? What and you inherit employees who don't fit the culture that you want to create?
Mm-hmm.
what happens? So now we're going to sort of take the boss aside, because I think that's what happens. Somebody comes in and maybe they're younger, or maybe they're older, or and they're bringing in a different kind of a culture to that department. Right. Mm-hmm. Maybe they were told to, maybe they weren't told to, I don't know. But they inherit employees that work for the last boss, but they find them lackluster, or they find them stuck, or doing it in an old-fashioned way, or just not what they want.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Right. What do you do? I mean, part of it depends on how the leadership, how much they're willing to support you, right, in the decisions that you would make in terms of building your team. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you first try to introduce them to the culture that you're trying to create and see who can transfer, so to speak?
Mm-hmm. I think you owe it to everybody to give them a chance.
Yeah.
Right.
So whatever that means, I mean, you don't want to be a fake. Yeah. And I mean, it sounds like in this, the questioner was set up, you know, rather than helped through this.
That's right.
That's right.
And that's very confusing. So, you know,
you need to spell out that the culture that you are creating,
that things are changing.
Yeah.
And
here are the standards and expectations.
Do you send this out through an email?
No.
Is this a meeting face to face with everyone? Do you speak to people individually? Like, what's the first?
I would speak to everyone together.
Together.
And then individually if you needed to.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I would not put it in writing.
I'm just thinking, we were brought into a not-for-profit situation where new leadership literally hired us to introduce and clearly integrate the new culture with the old employees.
And it's taken almost 2 years to get rid of everybody who really would not embrace it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Believe it.
Yeah. It's not an easy thing. And you get some pushback, for sure, even at the highest levels.
Then we've seen a leader come in and act like they weren't going to make any changes, and then, of course, make changes that really ruffled a lot of feathers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not good either.
Right, because I imagine people don't like feeling blindsided either.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
Nope. Especially if it's a mission. This was a mission-driven organization, so people were there for not just because they were collecting a paycheck, because
they really believed in the mission.
Yeah, they love the work. So that, I don't think that was very fair. But to be fair, you want to come in and spell it out, and then let people know individually.
Yeah.
You know, the way you've been working may have worked before, but we're going to need to change it. Mm-hmm. And then that's up to them what they want to do.
But I imagine also you would then need to evaluate performance based on the new criteria that you've laid out, as opposed to just quickly firing anyone who doesn't do
it. Well, I think if it's, you know, work-based, like if it's, you know, or somebody just doesn't deliver their work, it's much easier.
Right.
Yeah.
And you may have inherited employees that should have been fired.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And but the last person didn't have the guts for whatever reason. You may have that. Those are easy.
Those are.
Yeah, those are fairly easy. You're being written up for this. You got 30, you know, 90 days, and then they either do it or don't. Yeah. And they usually don't. But if it's more, you know, attitude, personality, behavior.
Or even loyalty to the past leader.
And that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think you have to find out who's willing to convert.
Right. Yeah, you may have really bought into the style of the last leader. Mm-hmm. And that's your style, your management style. That's probably not going to fly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, so if you are this person and you come in and you want to change the culture, I mean, our experience is it takes 2 years.
Yes. It's a long time.
Yeah. I mean, it the is. First year you'll make a lot of strides and you'll be really disruptive, but it's going to take 2 years to really say, I've got my team.
Yeah.
I've seen it take longer too. it's not quicker.
Well, I think point. Actually, the truth is, if you're talking about really changing a culture, you're talking about changing the business practices, the attitudes, and how people interact with each other in a fundamental way. Mm-hmm. And that does not happen overnight.
No.
And usually there are a few sacrificial lambs, unfortunately, a few people who kind of demonstrate what you're not supposed to do and get fired.
Right.
You know, that, and that's part of conveying the message that things are going to be done differently here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
this is a tough podcast.
Well, but the thing is, if you are a change agent and you've been brought in to do this kind of work, then you're going to have to then just know that that's what the, you know, you don't see progress is incremental.
Yeah.
And but you can eventually get there. You've just got to stay with that. I mean, the woman who we recently helped her change the organization, we were able to support her through that you're doing the right thing. This is exactly what has to happen. No one's mm-hmm. going to punish you.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. there's a feeling when they're out in the world, they're going to badmouth you. They don't. They move on.
Right.
Some mm-hmm. people will, but it's not as big as you think it is.
Yeah.
Change
can be good. Change can be great.
Change usually is great.
Employees might really appreciate whatever new culture you're bringing, a new style you're bringing.
They
into
may.
The space.
It can be refreshing, especially mm-hmm. if it's been, you know, the previous culture was, let's say, a fear-based culture, and mm-hmm. you are someone who wants to have open communication or real teamwork or,
right.
you know, clear definition of everyone's territory. Mm-hmm. That can be healing for
right.
an organization.
Breath of
but
fresh air.
it still takes a while because, first of all, if you've been with a leader who's, say, very charismatic but extremely controlling, you get this other thing, you're not going to trust that.
Mm.
That's why
you may want to communicate and be afraid that if you do, there's going to be repercussions.
Ding, ding. Mm-hmm. Right. Last time I tried this, I was set aside. I was shamed in public by my boss. I don't want that again.
Right.
I'm frozen out. He ignored me, wouldn't talk to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a tough podcast.
Yeah. But I like what you're saying in terms of the first thing, if you're bringing in a new culture and you're concerned that the employees don't fit, is let them know what your standards are mm-hmm. and what your expectations are and how you want to operate.
At the same time, mm-hmm. I think you can be open to the fact that people need a while to change and that, you know, the people you thought could not change, maybe can. So give people an opportunity to rise to the occasion also, because I've seen that where I'm just going to, you know, chop off their heads. But give them
right.
a chance, because they might be able to, and that comes in all sizes and shapes. You
right.
know,
yeah.
you never know really who will say, oh, okay, I can do it that way and be just completely fine about it.
Right,
yeah.
So, because I do find that leaders come in and they are anxious to get this done. And that's not always a good thing. You have to be respectful of what came before.
Progress, not perfection.
Mm-hmm.
How's that?
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Looking at it as a process, not just an immediate result.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, when you do have progress, incremental progress, just be really proud of that and know that you're on the right road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't, I'm getting depressed. We could talk about something else.
Yeah. Well, just one last thing, which is, I think usually when a new person comes in and introduces a new culture, there are a few people who will be enthusiastic about signing on to it.
Yeah.
And you really want to work with those individuals, and they often can tell you a lot about the resistors. Mm-hmm. So, and possibly ways to work with those individuals.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to run into everything. You're going to run into the brown noser.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're going to
the saboteur, if you're lucky.
The one that lies to your face.
Slacker,
and then, you know, talks behind your back. You know, you're going to. Maybe I'm so jaded. This is what we've been doing this for so long. Anyway, that's our advice.
Yeah. All right.
That's it for this podcast. If you have any further comments or thoughts on this topic, tweet us at AskK2. Follow us on Instagram at MyCrazyOffice.
If you want to receive our podcast email, text us at 228-28 and type in MyCrazyOffice. That's all one word, MyCrazyOffice at 228-28.
And finally, don't forget to send your questions to info@MyCrazyOffice.co. I really love your questions. Don't forget to send them in.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.